there is no way to do this without creating problems. I mean, you know, that's the reason why the theory of contradictions is so important in historical development. There is no way to manage these three contradictions. The first, building the productive forces in a very poor country. The second, socializing the means of production, increasing the social development of people. And the third, defending yourself from imperialist attack. You can't do these three things simultaneously without always, always making enormous mistakes and errors of judgment one way or the other. Now the issue is, and I'm going to wind things up with this, the issue is what Fidel Castro said in his 1961 speech to the intellectuals in Cuba. I don't know if any of you have read this text. It's widely available. I think it's available on the web in several languages. 1961, in Cuba, in 59, the revolution takes place. And then Fidel and the communists do, I think, what most people didn't expect them to do, which is very unusual for people who come into office. In 1953, Fidel was arrested after the attempt on 26th of July at the Moncada base and at other bases around the country. It was the uprising of 53. He was arrested. And you know, governments do stupid things. Like, it was really stupid for the government of the president of Venezuela in 92. It was really stupid of him to put Hugo Chavez on national TV in 92. Because I don't know if you remember this, but Chavez had attempted a coup in 92 against the government. And then they put him on TV, and this extraordinarily charismatic man, I mean, extraordinarily charismatic, goes on national TV, and he does two things which nobody ever do. He first takes responsibility for the whole uprising, tells people to stop their mutiny, because it was a military mutiny largely, and he says, I am to blame. And in Venezuela, entire generations have never seen a political leader say that they are to blame. That had never been heard by anybody. It was like, what? He's saying he's responsible? Extraordinary. Everybody always says somebody else is responsible. But he said, I'm responsible. And then he said, everybody stop trying to overthrow the government. Stop por ahora. What a great thing to say. For now. That slogan, for now, becomes his election campaign in 1998. Stupid to put Chavez on TV. Well, the government in Cuba, equally stupid, put Castro on trial in 1953. Stupid decision. You know, if you pick up a revolutionary, don't let them speak in public. Lock them away. It's a dumb thing to do. They put Castro in a courtroom. He was a trained lawyer. Of course Castro spoke for a long time. Because that's what the old man did. He spoke for a long time. He sat in that courtroom, impeccably prepared, and he laid out the agenda of the Cuban Revolution. If you haven't read that text, which you can find called History Will Absolve Me, I really recommend you read it tonight. Have a few drinks, go back, think of Castro, boil some Moringa tea, and read History Will Absolve Me. In that text, in that speech, Castro lays out, he says, this is what we will do when we come to power. We'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do this. 1959, they come to power, and he follows exactly what he said in 1953. He says, for instance, why should the Cuban people pay electricity rates to an American electric company that are higher than the rates paid by people in the United States? So we are going to nationalize the electric company. Perfectly reasonable statement. It's not even revolutionary. It just makes sense. It's common sense. Why is a company that sells energy cheaper in the United States selling it for higher in Cuba? Ridiculous. We're going to change that. Then he says, we sell sugarcane to these companies. These companies haven't paid us X amount of the profit from the sugar cane. Okay, you're entitled to some profit, but half of that profit we want back. Perfectly commonsensical claim. Like, I could walk today to Rio Tinto, march into the office, ring the bell, let them see me, go up to the chairman's office and say, the people of West Papua, the people of the Congo, and so on, would like to take over your building. On behalf of them, I am commandeering your building. That's exactly what Castro said to the properties of the big companies in Cuba. He said, you owe us X amount of US dollars. You can pay the US dollars into the exchequer. If you don't, we're taking over your properties. He didn't seize the property, by the way. This is total propaganda. Castro didn't go and just grab the property. He said, you owe us money. If you're not going to pay, we're going to repossess the assets. This is a perfectly commonsensical thing that capitalists do all the time, right? When you bought your sports car, were driving it around, couldn't pay the thing, they send the repossession agents to take it away. All that the Cuban government did was repossess the profits that were stolen from them. So Castro was doing all these things, perfectly fine. There was a section of people who started criticizing the government. There were some who criticized the government to the point of saying, we think it should be overthrown. They arrested them. It should also be said that they did arrest people who committed grave crimes, and they, of course, received the judgment they deserved. Castro decided, when the criticism started rising, particularly from certain artists and intellectuals, he called them into the National Theater in Havana, and he gave a speech. First, he listened to a lot of the criticisms. It's very interesting the way we read texts. We read, for instance, Mao Zedong's great text on Yan'an, you know, the text on art and culture. And what we don't know about that text is that there was like a 2 or 3 day conclave in the caves of Yan'an, where artists from across the revolutionary spectrum, artists, writers, and others, came and discussed the problems of building socialist art. Mao Zedong came to all those lectures and discussions, took lots of notes, and then came back on the last day and gave his reflections on the debates around art and culture at Yan'an. But we read that as if it's just Mao's ideas. It's Mao absorbing what he had learned from the writers, cultures, systematizing it and producing a kind of theory of art. In the same way, Castro listens to everybody. They have their objections, they speak and so on. And then he stands up and he responds. And that speech is beautiful, the 1961 speech to artists and intellectuals. What Castro said is, you can criticize the Cuban Revolution if your criticism is aimed to make it better. If your criticism is within the revolution, that's how he phrased it. If your criticism is within the revolution, it's welcome. If you want to make the revolution better, you're welcome to make any criticism. You are welcome to make any criticism. That is criticism within the revolution. But then he said, if your criticism is outside the revolution, it is not welcome. You can take it elsewhere. What did he mean by outside the revolution? If your criticism is intended to weaken the revolution, to overthrow the revolution, to join hands with the imperialist attack on the revolution, then we don't welcome it. This seems to me a pretty decent formula for our understanding of contemporary revolutions and old revolutions. When we assess them, we should never be romantic, dewy-eyed romantic. I don't look back at the Russian Revolution and say everything they did was correct. Enormous errors were made. Enormous errors were made because the revolution was built by people, people like us. Not by titans who are 12 times our size. Lenin was just like us. A few years ago, I was stunned to realize that Lenin died and I was older than him. He died at age 56. When I turned 57, I was like, wow, I'm a year older than Lenin. You know, a year, that was stunning to me. Yeah? He died at 56. Frantz Fanon died at 36. I mean, these people died really young. Sankara in his 30s, Lumumba in his 30s, killed all of them. Yeah, so young. They are not titans, you know, huge giants who roam the earth. They are not geniuses. They were representatives of people's movements. They were produced by those movements. Amilcar Cabral, produced by the movement. Ho Chi Minh, produced by the movement. Something was extraordinary in them, but they were also a product of the movement. They were people, they made mistakes. Mao Zedong made so many mistakes. He recognized it as well. You don't need a biography that attacks him. He recognized his own mistakes. Some he didn't recognize, human being. They were all made by people. We judge them for what they tried to do. We do what we want to do based on the experiences that they have left us. We want to build a revolution. We don't want to live in a society where big mining companies, big weapons companies set the agenda. We want to build a society. We want people to be able to live to the fullness of their potential. We know that they can't live to the fullness of their potential in this. We know that a miner who's mining for wealth, which produces a company like BHP, that miner will never have more than lung cancer and an early death. We know that the people who make armaments, who are grinding the bombs, they have as short a life, maybe, as the people who are going to face the wrath of those bombs, while the weapons dealers have giant yachts and enjoy their lives till perpetuity. We know that. We know that this cannot go on forever. We know that if we do make a revolution, we will learn from the wisdom of the revolutions of the past. I hope we will learn. But I also know we'll make our own mistakes. I also know that we will zig and zag. I also know that we will get attacked by the imperialists that remain. But I know that that doesn't stop us from trying. That cannot stop us from trying. We may be few, but we represent many. And we will become many. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, BJ. I'll give you a minute. You can have a drink and I'll just...